In the shadow of Pico Veleta in the Sierra Nevada, España. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show. Coming up this week, the pro cycling arms race that nobody is talking about and why it's not good news for the rest of us.
We've also got news of how you can get arrested for cycling and scrolling in Japan, a bike brand working to improve their carbon footprint, a hot new tyre pressure sensor Kickstarter for the nerds, and a new competition to win a core heat sensor. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that professional cyclist Mark Cavendish is a dab hand at Aikido.
Yeah, Aikido you not.
But
there you go. Those end-of-season criterium races really are the gifts that keep on giving, aren't they? As you will see in the caption competition coming up.
For the next few months in the caption competition.
Yeah. Now, we also learned that a prototype aero helmet was spotted at a British cyclocross race. Honna Elliott gets full marks for her Giro Aerohead Halloween piss take. And she still rolled second place.
Did she?
With that on, yeah.
Very good. I'll tell you what, Elizabeth could have done with a helmet just like that, couldn't he, on Friday, when a fan threw a glass of beer in his face.
Ugh.
I'd be pleased to hear, incidentally, that the fan was escorted out of the race by police and promptly arrested.
Very pleased to hear. Now, we also learned the roots of the Tour de France and Tour de France femme avec Zwift last week. Highlights include Mont Ventoux for the men and a summit finish on the equally fearsome Col de la Madeleine for the women as part of, incidentally, their longest race yet with 9 stages.
Fantastic stuff. And finally, we learned that the arms race in pro cycling is real, and it's gaining pace.
Yeah, so such is the level of the sport now that teams are not only vying for the signatures of the best, most talented riders, but also the best coaches, the best aerodynamicists, the best minds, and the best equipment.
Yeah, let's start with the equipment side of things, shall we? Now, this is quite an interesting one because over the last couple of decades, bike and equipment manufacturers have been paying increasingly large sums of money in order to sponsor the biggest professional teams. But as the stakes get higher, is there a chance of that reversing?
By that, we mean that teams are now so desperate to have the best and fastest equipment, could they actually turn down astronomical sums of money offered by companies if they feel that using self-selected equipment could put them at an advantage?
Quite possibly, you'd say.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, you don't actually have to go that far back through time, do you, to get to a point when bike manufacturers simply supplied bikes and equipment to those teams without any money changing hands at all. And then, at some point, along came a bunch of manufacturers, mainly from America, like Specialized and Trek, and they offered the equipment and a boatload of cash.
Yeah, so for a time, it meant that the more traditional European brands, like Colnago, found themselves without a top-flight team. Presumably, they either refused or weren't able to stump up the same amounts of cash that others were offering.
Either way, we then went through a period where teams' equipment sponsors were accounting for a reasonable slice of a team's budget, and that continues to this day. But is that about to change? Could teams, as we mentioned, in the future, not too distant future, prioritise speed over their budget, i.e. using the best equipment they can buy?
Well, there's a development, isn't it? That would mean having a big enough budget from your main sponsor to allow you that luxury. But with companies like Red Bull coming into the sport, maybe that could become reality.
Could do. And of course, teams are already working very closely with their current manufacturer sponsors to make the fastest equipment they can and therefore that they can use as a team. INEOS, for example, have long worked with Pinarello before they were INEOS and they were Team Sky. And those technical advances are then passed on to the general public because the UCI stipulate that anything a pro rider uses must be available for sale to the general public within a certain period of time.
Yeah, another good example of a team working with a sponsor to make the fastest equipment is Visma Lisa Bike. And Giro, yes. The real Giro helmets.
Yes, those helmets. And yes, you can now buy one if you want to go faster and if you're not in the least bit vain. But it's not just helmets and bikes. Teams are working closely with their clothing partners, their nutrition partners, etc. I mean, our nutrition partner, Precision, work really closely with Lotto Destiny to ensure their riders are getting the best possible in-race nutrition.
Yeah, so maybe since teams are influencing the product development with their sponsors, They have no need to turn their back on sponsorship to buy the best equipment. But if they did, it certainly wouldn't be without precedent, would it? Because there was a time when Team Sky had a non-exclusive deal with Shimano, for example, which allowed the team to use different wheels.
Yeah, that's true.
If they felt they were better.
Exactly.
Basically.
And there are plenty of examples of teams using other different equipment, like tyres. They're a good example.
That's always gone on, that, hasn't it?
It has always gone on, and you generally have the brands blacked out, of course.
Yeah.
But as we mentioned earlier, there's a new arm to the arms race, and that is the race to sign the best minds, brains.
So riders are obvious, aren't they? Yeah. Like, you sign them based on their results or their potential results, their availability. But then there's this new competition going on behind the scenes. So the race to sign the people that perhaps the average cycling fan maybe has never heard of.
The aforementioned best aerodynamicists or best coaches, the best performance staff, in effect. And there are a couple of higher profile examples of this from recent months. Firstly, a man who Sy interviewed not so long ago, the Norwegian coach Olaf Alexander Bu, one of the minds behind the so-called Norwegian training method.
Yeah, he was cool, super cool. And as of last week, he is now the head coach of Uno X. The team recruited him as part of their long-term drive to become, well, they aim to become the best team in the world, isn't it? The team's also signed a 10-year deal with Belgian bike manufacturer Ridley, with whom they will work very closely, they say, to ensure they're on the fastest equipment.
Interesting. Abu's background, or at least what he became famous for, was coaching triathletes, wasn't it? Specifically, two of the most successful the world has ever seen, in the form of Christian Blumenfeld and Gustav Eider. And it's people like him who are becoming increasingly sought after, and by extension, I'd imagine, increasingly expensive.
Yeah. Beyond coaches, aerodynamicists, but also increasingly sought after, aren't they? Dan Bigham, probably the most high profile in the sport right now, in part because he too has actually been racing at an extremely high level
himself, on
the track for a long, long time. He's been a bit of a game changer, hasn't he, really? Whilst also doing a day job too.
And the evolution of that day job has been interesting in itself, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So through the success he had in his early days on the bike, he then began consulting for a couple of World Tour teams, but it wasn't long before one team wanted him exclusively.
Yeah, so initially that was Ineos, but then in the summer, Bigger moved to Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, along with his longtime friend and colleague, Johnny Whale. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine, they didn't come cheap, the pair of them.
Wouldn't have thought so, would you?
Now,
I did speak to a couple of agents about this, and they couldn't tell me precise numbers because they don't really have agents, those backroom staff, yet. But the agents guessed that their salary would be in the €200,000 to €300,000 mark.
Not bad.
No, not bad.
That's not bad, is it? You'd imagine that salary expectation would increase then as the pool of aerodynamicists remains a similar size whilst demand increases.
Or will it remain a similar size? You might get people from other sports who get brought over for their credentials.
I'd learn aerodynamics for that amount of money. Anyway, it is interesting though, isn't it, to see how things are developing. I was reading a translated article by the esteemed Belgian commentator Michel Wurts. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Wurts, I think.
Wurts. Anyway, it was claimed there, or he claimed, that Red Bull offered €10 million a year to Evenepoel to move over to that team, along with a couple of key members of his entourage.
Ah, the old entourage.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a bad sum of money.
No. I mean, I might make a comeback to cycling as well if that was on the table.
What should we come back as? Coaches?
That's probably a bit more likely,
probably,
isn't it? Yeah. Now, one thing I would like to say about this arms race, though, is that whilst I can't see it being like a bad thing for pro cycling particularly, I think it is a bad thing for anything below pro cycling.
How so?
Well, I bet that there are a large number of third cat racers who are competing on the best tech.
Probably.
Because they can afford it and they're in the most aero positions because they can afford to go in a wind tunnel. And they're in the best shape possible because they can also afford like the best coach.
Has that not always been the case though?
I mean, to a degree, but I think not to the level that we're at today.
It's more expensive now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I bet loads of people are also doing heat training and altitude camps as well.
Exactly. So I feel like the barriers of getting into competitive cycling are higher than they've ever been. I reckon there are a lot of people who've probably chosen to go running over cycling as a competitive sport in recent years, not just because it's literally 100 times cheaper, but because it's also easier to compete on a level playing field.
I see what you mean, yeah. And, well, we went for a run today, actually, didn't we? All you need to do is slip on a pair of shoes and off you go. But like I said, I do agree with you because, I mean, often trickle-down tech is a good thing for the general consumer, but if you want to compete and have the best and fastest equipment now, it is going to cost you a hell of a lot of money.
Well, I mean, it will and it won't, right? Because, like, you don't need to have the best equipment to be able to compete. Like, we filmed that video maybe 2 years ago now where I raced a local third and fourth cat race on a 1969 vintage bike wearing a wool jersey. And whilst I did not win, I certainly was not last. I was like 12th or something.
It's quite similar to when you did have access to good equipment.
Exactly. But like, so you definitely don't need it, but it's more just that I don't know why the sport isn't a bit more proactive in saying, okay, well, if World Tour is our F1, and people like to think of it as being like F1, don't they? Why don't we just say, okay, well, those are the rules for them, and then beneath that, no carbon fibre. Imagine that. Mm. Like, so you could not get aero wheels, an aero frame, you had to ride an aluminium frame. Like,
well, this is something we discussed that we think should be mandatory, or certainly I do, for junior racing, or age level racing, where you're dependent on how much money your parents have either got or are willing to spend on your sport and hobby. So I definitely think it should happen there.
Oh, I think it'd be wicked, yeah. No power meters, no carbon fibre, just so that everyone can get involved and race on the same stuff.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you in a large sense, I've got to say. I mean, we should throw it out to the public at home as well.
Yeah.
Have you been aware of pro cycling's arm race, or indeed a trickle down of that to your local group rides or races or whatever it might be? Do you feel that you're in an inferior place? And I think that's a good point, isn't it? In the same way that all of a sudden aspiring pro cyclists have got access to all this data that tells them they've got inferior equipment to the people they're competing against, that's the same for the third cats, isn't it? They know if the person over there is on a much faster bike because the data's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, get involved in the comment section down below. Now, whilst we're talking about unfair advantages, you might remember from Connor's video on heat training a couple of months ago, the incredible gains you can get from that, and also Ollie's video where he did a how-to on heat training from just last week. There is one brand that's synonymous with it, isn't it? Core. Yeah. And we are delighted to say that we've got one of their heat sensors to give away now.
Yep. All the details that you'll need to enter the competition are in the description just down below this video.
Yeah. And we should stress, by the way, that it's not about going faster in hot conditions. Like,
just about going faster.
You go faster in cold conditions as well. It really is quite bonkers.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that cyclists who use their phones while riding in Japan will now face up to 6 months in prison.
Yeah, this is a story that made all the mainstream news last week. But the article we saw it on Vice, seems pretty supportive. With the starting line on Vice of, Japan has simply had enough of this shit.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like it's a pretty major issue there, doesn't it? So cycling incidents have seen a wild increase, Vice's words, since the pandemic, basically. It's the estimate that there were 72,000 last year, which is 20% of all road incidents. So it does seem like quite a big problem, doesn't it?
Well, it seems pretty harsh as well, though.
Well, yeah,
we did check, didn't we? Well, here in the UK, you are likely to face a fine and penalty points on your driving licence. If you're driving dangerously, you could get 4 years in prison. And yes, cars are far more dangerous than bikes, but a bike being ridden by someone who's on their phone is still dangerous. So let's not try and excuse it because something is worse than that.
Yeah, I think that's an important point here, isn't it? Meanwhile, here in the UK, there's been a development in a definite anti-cycling story. So a town called Grimsby, which made the headlines when it banned bikes and then vigorously enforced it from the town centre.
Including having a recorded message playing over a loudspeaker saying, "No cycling!" 4 times an hour, every hour of every day.
Yeah, so the development is that the councillor in charge of this basically has admitted that is a bit repetitive.
A bit repetitive.
It now only plays twice per hour.
Well, only 48 times per day.
Yeah.
Much more reasonable. It is weird what makes people mad, though, isn't it? I mean, I'm assuming that councillor is someone I wouldn't really want to have a beer with.
No.
But this morning, we had to listen to a guy on a bike ranting for 30 minutes. Oh, you mean ranting? Because the bike park outside our office had been blocked by a lorry.
Yeah, blooming annoying for the bike rider, but still, like, we were inside a building and could clearly hear his absolute rage for 30 minutes. What a total waste of time it was for that guy. It's kind of worth taking a step backwards sometimes.
It is, I say, yes. The lorry was still there, incidentally, 3 hours later.
Yeah, it was.
Moving on, we read about an interesting development in the bike industry last week. So a group of major manufacturers, including Canyon Trek and Scott, have come together to launch a new training course to help try and cut supply chain emissions.
Yeah, so when Trek released their big sustainability report, I think it was a couple of years ago now, it was quite a shock, I think, for a lot of people to see that 96% of emissions embedded in each Trek bike were actually not produced by Trek themselves. And so it's not so much of a surprise then to see them trying to reduce emissions in their supply chain that they don't have any direct control over.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think you had a similar conversation, Si, when you were over at Canyon's HQ last time. Yeah. Didn't you? If you only make your frame and fork, everything else in the bike is bought and made by other people. So how do you actively reduce your carbon footprint?
Exactly. I mean, they're trying, aren't they, with this new initiative? So fingers crossed. Remaining with Canyon, just for 1 second, they've partnered up with REI to offer in-store servicing in the US to add to their independent dealer network. I saw that as well on news this week.
Elsewhere in the bike world, I saw that Decathlon have released a 5-person cargo bike.
I know! A proper car replacement vehicle, the F900E, can fit, and I use that term loosely because I'm sure it'll be a squeeze, 4 kids... in the front bucket, kids used to call it.
Yeah. Comes with a rain cover as well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Probably welcome in a lot of places right now.
Yeah.
We spotted this piece of tech as well over on Kickstarter, which has totally smashed its funding target.
Yeah, the Outrider tyre pressure gauge looks, on paper, like a pretty cool bit of tech, right? So it'll cost $79 at full price, and that's for 2 wheels. The sensors live inside the wheel rim, and they say weigh just 3.5 grams per piece. The only current downside is that currently it only works with Garmins, but the idea is that you connect the sensors up to your head unit to display real-time pressure data.
Very nerdy.
Yes.
Not for everyone.
No.
I think it's safe to say, but it's significantly cheaper and less visible than others currently on the market.
The big question is, does it work?
I don't know.
Which is always a risk with a Kickstarter, but if it does, I think that looks properly cool, Dan.
Yeah, but definitely nerdy.
Well, yeah,
not nerdy, though. The latest GCN Aarhus limited edition jerseys, which are now available.
Mm.
And we say limited, we mean limited.
Yes.
Don't we? Jerseys 1, 2, and 3 are completely sold out. I think there's a couple of edition 4s still available at the moment.
Yeah, and you can buy both these new jerseys together as a bundle, save 10% on the retail price, or you can get a bundle of jersey in with some shorts to get a similar level of discount as well. Now, can I do a shout out, please? A request. Calling all Zwifters out there, okay? We are looking for the most grueling structured workouts that are available on the platform, okay? So we're going to try and put like a little list together, find out which is the toughest, right? I can't be the only one here that flipping loves a gruesome structured training session. There's just something incredibly satisfying.
You're the only one here.
No. Isaac, you like one.
I love it.
What's your favourite? Is it the Ringer?
I like the Gorby. The ring is impossible.
The ring is impossible. See, there's a challenge, isn't it?
Mm.
Yes, anyway, get involved in the comment section down below. For any Zwifters that have got any personal favourites / nemesises in the... is that a word? Nemesis?
I've got no idea what the plural for nemesis is.
No.
Let us know in the comments down below.
Most people don't normally have more than one nemesis, do they? Maybe by definition.
Yeah, maybe we should know what the plural is.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Right, we'll finish Cycling Shorts this week with more news of Chris Hoy. Of course, Si and Connor last week spoke about Chris's announcement of his terminal cancer, but also spoke about the fact that he's been writing a book since he's found out about that diagnosis. And that book is now available online. And by all accounts, you can guarantee it's going to be both inspirational and incredibly moving. It's time now for Hack / Bodge of the Week.
Certainly is, Dan.
First up this week, we had this one come in from... I can't even see the name.
Yes, I think is the name.
Oh, the name is Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. There you go.
What a name.
Brilliant.
Well, thanks, Yes.
Would you like to add your name? And they've just...
Oh, I see. It's like, yeah, if you didn't hear Isaac then, it's like, apparently our questionnaire says, would you like to give your name? And they've just answered yes. It's a bit like those old exams, isn't it? When it says sex and people put yes, please, instead of male or female. Anyway, an old race bike that I really enjoyed using and accomplished so much on. I wasn't able to bring myself to sell it or get rid of it, so I made it into a mirror. I didn't realise it was a mirror to start with before I just read that. I thought it was two holes in the wall.
Oh, and well, now you mention it, it does look like two holes in the wall. I think that's quite cool, isn't it? Like, we've all got those bikes, haven't we? I've all got them. Like, I've got a bike that, you know, sentimentally attached to. Not that I did anything good on it, but, you know, I like it.
Yeah, I've got a few that I'm sentimentally attached to. I feel like such a dumbass at this point, because not only I was thinking, it's really convenient, there's two holes that are perfectly separated in the same size as a bike. I was wondering to myself whether the holes are made to be part of a bike.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will go hack. I think it looks quite cool.
I think it does look quite cool. Yeah. Yep, I like that. Go on, I'm going to give it a hack as well then. Next up, we've got this one sent in from Katie. So, turbo derailleur alignment trick. Oh, okay, this sounds good, right? So the cassette on Katie's turbo is slightly out from the one on her normal bike to the tune of 2 rotations of the barrel adjuster. So she kept losing track of how far she turned the barrel adjuster, so it wasn't quite putting it back in the same place. A little bit of tape cut into an arrow and stuck on the adjuster makes it foolproof now.
Oh my
word. Smooth shifting on and off the turbo. I'm having to zoom in.
I thought that was a scratch on the barrel adjuster when I first looked at this.
That's ingenious.
Do you know what I've learned? I should read the captions rather than just looking at pictures.
Yeah, no, that's a hack from me.
That's a hack from me as well. Very good.
Yeah.
Dieter Booth wrote in and sent these fixtures in. Cut 2 or 3 stretchy spiral headbands available for less than £5 on a well-known provider. Simply roll them around your cable so they're tightly packed together. Bonza! Great protection against rocks being thrown up by your front wheel, potentially damaging your hydraulic cable. Looks pretty good too, I think.
Well, do rocks damage hydraulic cables? I mean,
I've never had a rock damage any of my hydraulic cables before.
No.
But I also don't have many bikes with external hydraulic cables on bikes.
No. A good friend of mine has been nursing a shin injury for 15 years since a rock flicked up
on
the FBD. Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest with you, I think the shin injury healed about 2 days after it happened. But he's been moaning about it for 15 years since the Ross in 2009. Mm. So there we go. So anyway, he would attest.
The one you won?
Yeah. No. He was my teammate. He basically.
He was no use to you after the shin incident.
He was. He towed me around for 4 days. But anyway, yeah, he will attest to how delicate.
Are you naming him?
No.
Well, you're going to narrow it down by looking on Pro Cycling Stats or First Cycling for your
one
teammates.
One of 4 Rafa Condor teammates. I think you'd want to remain nameless, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but now the other 3 are under suspicion.
Well, yeah, this could be interesting to see how this develops. Anyway, what are we saying about this? I mean, I think it's probably a little bit overkill, but
I'd say
equally,
so, yeah.
If it's only cost you a fiver, it's not going to hurt, is it?
Yeah, but it's not a hack, it's a bodge.
Oh!
No, it's a bodge. No, it does look quite neat.
It does look all right, yeah. But that'd be a pain to keep clean, though, wouldn't it? It's bodge.
Okay, yeah, we'll stick with bodge.
Yeah, I think probably a bit of foam would be better.
Finally this week, MJT. No need for dish towels taped to bars, which I said was a hack, I think, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
No worries about the bar tape getting wet or expensive parts getting badly corroded. Just put these bad boys on your wrist, a larger one on your head, and crank up some U2 for the ultimate 1980s nostalgic indoor training session.
There you go.
Didn't they make a comeback, sweatbands, not so long ago?
I missed that one, mate, but I wouldn't surprise you to know that.
I had some coveted sweatbands. It was in the Yvon Lendl tennis era when he used to sport, and I think maybe Goran Ivanisevic as well.
Really? Yeah. There you go. In the early days of my budding cycling career, there was a brief trend for white Nike sweatbands on your wrist.
Oh, yeah, Miller and O'Grady used
that's
them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was when I think it made a comeback. That was, 24 years ago?
20 years ago, yeah.
It's time for another comeback soon. I think MJT might be just slightly ahead of the game here.
Yeah, I mean, I'd worry about the amount of heat that would build up in your wrists. I'm not sure that would solve the situation for me. I might try it though.
Mm. You could try some on your ankles.
I don't think they'd do them big enough. Maybe a headband would work,
that's
wouldn't
what
it?
I mean, yeah.
Right, I'm gonna say hack. If it stops you needing dishcloths on your handlebars, then it's definitely a hack.
I'm going bodge because I think MJT has sent that in as a bit of a pee take.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. Well, before we finish, Hackabodge, was it last week or the week before we were talking about a pair of handlebars that were used as a door knob?
Must have been last week.
Leonard Fairground said the door opens inward, so if you had to turn the handlebars to open the door, as Si suggested, it would prevent the door from opening. Si, come on, basics.
What did you pronounce it as a bodge last week because of that?
Well, yeah, so it was just a bit crap, yeah, because it was just handlebars stuck to a door. Anyway, turns out they were one step ahead of me. So thank you, Leonard, for pointing that one out last week.
Fantastic. All right, a reminder that that is the part of the show you can get involved in yourself, sending your hacks /bodges. You can use the link we've got in the description down below. I think it's globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Caption competition time now, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we will give you in just 1 second after we've handled the small matter of the results from last week.
Yes, this was the photo from last week. Three riders from Cirrotidit WNT, and we've got a winner. That winner is, we think it's T.A. Bishop. That's what we're going for, T.A. Bishop 3, who put caption competition. Are you feeling okay? Because that win was sick.
I like that.
Do you think T.A. Bishop is Tim Bishop that's won a lot of bottles with a new username? Was it Tim Bishop used to win a lot of bottles?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Oh. Well, last week we had our second double winner, did we announce?
That was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago, yeah. So, yeah, maybe this is old Bishop back under a pseudonym. I mean, not a great pseudonym.
No, not really. Anyway. He could have gone with anything that didn't include T or Bishop. So maybe it's a different one.
Maybe it is. Anyway,
let us know.
That's it.
Don't lie.
Yeah, no, don't lie. Send us a message.
Well, no, because they've got to send us an address, haven't they, as you're about to say, via Facebook.
Maybe Tim's moved house. Mm. Anyway, yeah, another Camelback water bottle for your collection. So they are things of beauty, aren't they? These really are. Right.
On to this week's photo then, which is this one of Mark Cavendish.
Yeah.
Performing, what was it, Aikido? Aikido you not?
Yep, that's right.
At the recent, was it the Saitama Criterium? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I will get you started. If you want to see a cyclist arms race, check this out.
It's like, what is that? It's just my brain is not working.
But that probably didn't work very well then for the podcast listeners.
No, for podcast listeners, Dan has just flailed his arms around very fast. Was that like, yeah.
Do you think Cav's actually just decked that guy, or do you reckon that guy's about to trip him up and send him on his back?
I'm not sure. We'll have to find out. We've got a video of said moments.
Oh, have we?
Well, no, I don't know. We have got some video footage, but I don't know if it includes that part.
There you go.
God, they look like they're questioning their life choices, Cav and Primoz there, don't they, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, wait till next week's caption competition where we've got three high-profile cyclists with ridiculous hats on.
There we go. Right, get involved in the comment section down below. Pick a winner next week.
A few comments now before we get on to what's coming up on GCN this week. And we shall start, as ever, with a couple from underneath last week's show where Si and Connor were debating which are better, basically, fast rides or slower, more leisurely rides.
Indeed we were. Connor, not our Connor, Connor Paradis, said, variety is the spice of life. I love going out for a full gas ride, but can also cruise down a rail trail, no problem. There's room for all types of rides in this life. I mean, that is quite a good way of putting it.
It's a decent point, yeah. I think, from Connor there.
Well, also, if you only ever rode full gas, you'd get quite tired, wouldn't you? Mm. Sometimes you got to, like, chill
a bit.
You
keep the rise to 5 minutes.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Simo wrote in to say, I think I've struck lucky here. My fast is quite slow, so I get the exercise buzz while still being able to look at the view.
I like that very much. And then this one I thought was quite amusing from Jorma Terrace. 95% of cyclists don't ride fast. Some might move swiftly at times, but their goal is not to go fast. I just love the number that you've put on that. Plucked completely out of thin air. 95% of cyclists don't ride fast. And I actually laughed even more because right underneath there was a comment saying, I think most GCN viewers ride really fast. So there you go. Clearly no one really knows. It seemed like a pretty good balance.
Due to the advice we've given them over the years.
What's that, both ride fast and slow?
No, the GCN viewers ride fast.
Oh, I see what you mean,
yeah. All the tips.
They just can't help riding fast, basically. Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Cameron Fraser, but the bad news for Toronto is that provincial government has just introduced new legislation requiring municipalities to get provincial approval to install a bike lane if it would require removing, a car lane. The same legislation gives the province the power to force cities to remove existing bike lanes, allegedly to fight congestion.
Yeah, so there's quite a few comments from citizens of Toronto. So basically, we were talking about some research that had come out that said someone doing their PhD, has written this AI software to basically try and plot the optimal places for bike paths in Toronto. But then everyone's pointed out that the new premier, Doug Ford, basically is massively anti-cyclist and is preventing any new bike lanes going in and trying to pull out the ones that do exist.
Sounds great.
Yeah, exactly. He sounds like someone I wouldn't want to go for a beer with either. But maybe that's the point. Maybe we should go for beers with people that we disagree with to, have an intelligent debate as opposed to just getting irate and, blocking people on social media.
I haven't had a beer for 6 weeks, so maybe I'm not someone you'd want to go for a beer with at the moment. I've had alcohol-free beers.
Oh, that's all right then. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, the principle is not the beer, is it? It's the drink.
Can I tell you a quick story? At my local pub, the only options they have for the most part for alcohol-free beers are like Coke-sized cans. They're
right.
£4.50, right?
Whoa!
Seems like quite a lot for quite a soft drink on a small can. At one point, they had these quite nice sort of craft alcohol-free beers in a larger can, which just lasted a bit longer. Also £4.50, so I'm thinking, great, Anyway, they sold out, understandably, quite quickly. They haven't got any more in. But recently, I've started ordering mocktails, which are also £4.50, not because they last any longer or because they taste any better, but because it takes them quite a long time to make the mocktail. And it feels like I've got slightly better value for money when I watch them work in a way to give me the mocktail rather than getting a can out of the fridge and handing it over.
There you go. I love the way your brain works. That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to have blooming work for that £4.50 now. Someone will be thinking, that's a good point. We should make the mocktails really need to be like £7.
Oh, yeah, right? They won't reduce the beers.
No. That is bad, though, isn't it, to be fair? That is bad.
I mean, the drink's lasting longer for me because in the time that they take to make the mocktail, I would have had half the beer.
No, yeah, good point, actually.
On to the wildest race that I've ever done. This is Si's Gravel World Championships video. AAJ Franklin wrote, "Tensions are sky high," in inverted commas speech marks. It's the age group, Si. I think you meant pensions are sky high.
If only pensions were sky high. That's the opposite. But I had a chuckle when I saw that. And then Cycling Steve L said, imagine being another rider at the World Champs, being passed by a dude wearing 20-year-old cycling kit, carrying a selfie stick, making a YouTube video. Then Valtteri Bottas zooms by like some sort of gravel Jesus. Crazy stuff. I did chuckle at the thought of Valtteri Bottas as a gravel Jesus. But,
it's quite a good description.
It is really, isn't it? Yeah. Just for the record, though, he zoomed past and then went zoomed that way. There was a little
punch. Did he?
No.
Just blew a gasket himself.
Wow, well, I don't know. It's F1 his drivers, legs, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, he's probably not. Prioritising other stuff.
A couple of comments underneath the road bike and gravel bike. So this was from Si and Ollie's video on Saturday. Brian Stanger. But gravel riding is simply returning us all to our childhood of riding whatever the heck we had on whatever surface there was to just go and have fun with our friends. I ride a 2022 Cannondale Topstone and I can comfortably ride anything I want here in Virginia's beautiful Shenandoah Valley. Was it?
Shenandoah. Yeah, it's a very famous old song. Yeah. I could croon it. Actually, I can't croon, but if I could, I would.
Same. But I've never heard of it, so.
Well, I'll play it for you on YouTube after this, if you like. No, that's cool. I like that. I mean, it kind of is a little bit like that, except for the fact that gravel riding with, certain bits of equipment is better than gravel riding without certain bits of equipment. And I say that as someone that has been gravel riding ever since they were cyclocross bikes with cantilever brakes and 33mm tyres. It was still fun, right? But it's definitely better.
What year did you get a cyclocross bike first time? Mine was 98, I think.
Yeah. I don't think I got my first cyclocross bike until 2002. I didn't do much cross as a junior. Oh, I did, but I was on a mountain bike.
Yeah, I did mountain bike as a junior.
Yeah.
But first year senior, I had a cross bike. Anyway.
Yes.
Also, underneath that same video, Edward Sykes wrote and said, why do people watch these videos complain about the price of bikes? If you watch Top Gear and the trio driving a £250,000 car, you watched it for the enjoyment due to the presenters and the content. That's why I watch GCN, because they're entertaining and I like bikes. Stop complaining about the fact that the new tech is expensive and just enjoy the fact we get to watch these guys make great content that's available for us for free.
Wow, that's really nice. Thanks. And it, actually, I mean, we talked about that in the GCN show a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Like most people will watch like an amazing car being driven around and not think, that's such a ridiculous, you know, it's too expensive. But also, what was interesting in that video is that actually a lot of people had written comments about the price of that bike before they'd even got to a third of the way through the video, where we actually addressed the fact that the bike was top of the range, and actually there was a less expensive version, or many less expensive versions available to buy. So anyway, a few people were very quick to shoot from the hip, I feel.
Unbelievable on the internet, isn't it?
That's it. Well, I mean, you know, it's better than shouting at lorries in bike paths, isn't
That's
it?
That's true. And finally, underneath, here's how to do the pro secret training. Jan Martin Zimmerman put, we absolutely need this video about specific heat training sessions and how to fit it into normal training. Keep up the fantastic work. And
Bob Foster. He's got a proper aero socks. Yeah. Big skin suit, yeah.
Bob Foster put, lived in Houston for 25 years. The definition of heat training.
Well, yeah, as Ollie said, you can definitely do it outside. For sure. Right then, what is coming up? Well, first up, actually, how to do zone training. So this is basically going to be a handy guide for the people who don't have the tech. So even if you do have the tech, sometimes it's good to see what zones are actually like in terms of like your breathing rate and your effort level and stuff. But it's particularly important if you don't have tech like power meters or whatever. So Connor walks you through step by step.
Very good.
Yep.
That comes out on Wednesday. Then on Saturday, we went over to see Parley, didn't we? Who made lovely... They've made lovely bikes for a long time. They were one of the bikes I lusted after in Mountain Bike UK magazine in the late 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Crikey. I don't remember that.
Do you not?
No, I actually don't.
Yeah. Yeah, lovely Parley bikes.
Yeah, okay.
And on Sunday, Super Nerds back on Super Bikes. This time, it's how fast can Ollie, Alex and Si... do 10 miles in.
That's it. Can we go sub 20 minutes for 10? On road bikes, this is, by the way.
Yeah. So, not TT bikes, not gravel bikes.
No, with all the tech we can muster up, basically. So, yeah, keep your fingers crossed for that one. Right then, I think that's pretty much it for this week,
isn't
it?
That is it for this week. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll be back next Tuesday.
Yeah, going to go think what jobs we can do for world tour teams for megabucks, aren't we?
Well, I did sort of think, you know, hopefully at some point what they really need is a couple of fairly average presenters to promote their team.
Well, yeah.
World.
Why? Who wouldn't want that?
Exactly. DMs are open.
See you next week.